Going Through Life with Betty and Bob. This is Milton Cross, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to join us for a visit with Betty and Bob Drake. But first, a few words from a friend of yours. When Betty returned from her conversation with Martin Anderson, the political boss of Monroe, hoping to amuse Bob with Anderson's suggestion that Evelyn Lewis was romantically interested in him, she found Bob in a very serious and preoccupied mood. Bob was very annoyed at Anderson's linking Evelyn's name to his. And then he told Betty,
"It's not good news."
"No."
"Would you like to take it standing up or sitting down?"
"Standing up."
"All right, darling. Well, I spent the last hour and a half with our auditor."
"Yes, darling."
"The financial condition of the Trumpet is nothing to brag about."
"How bad is it, dear?"
It couldn't be much worse. Our circulation has been improving for the last year, but we haven't sold much advertising. Spent a lot of money getting the best reporters, the best feature writers, but I haven't stinted on anything, but you know, Betty, when we keep losing thousands of dollars each month, after a while, it starts to add up into a pretty impressive total."
"Yes, I know it does."
"And the money you keep pouring into a project like this has got to come from somewhere."
"If it hadn't been for those oil wells, we never would have had the money to get into the newspaper business to begin with."
"But then we sold the oil wells."
"For a good price."
"Yeah, but they no longer represent a source of income. Money we got for them was capital we used to keep financing the Trumpet. Now, this may sound a little silly, but our total bank balance at the moment is just a little less than $200,000.
"That's a goodly amount of money."
"Yeah, but at the rate the Trumpet is losing money, it'll all be gone inside of 6 months."
"Cool."
"Well, without facts or figures, that's the story in a nutshell."
"In 6 months?"
"Or less. That's not counting what it costs us to live. Mother and the babies and Claire and help, you know." "Well, there you are. You like it?"
"Like it?"
"You know, we've been so involved and excited about fighting evil and corruption in this town, we've forgotten that that fight can't go on unless the Trumpet is a paying proposition or we've got unlimited resources."
"6 months."
"Yeah, or less."
"What do you think we ought to do, Bob?"
"Think hard."
"What's the practical thing to do?"
"Practical? Go in for an economy wave."
"For example?"
"Oh, fire a half a dozen reporters, let go a couple of copy readers, cut the advertising department in half, since they don't seem to be getting any business anyway. You know, just slice everything right and left.
That'd be like slicing the trumpet right and left.
Yep, right across its throat.
The news would get out. And I can just imagine the rejoicing at Martin Anderson's camp.
Be quite a celebration, wouldn't it?
It'd be a sort of preliminary wake.
But that would be practical.
Yes, very practical.
Then we might look at it from an even more personal point of view.
As?
Well, as you just admitted, $200,000 is a lot of money.
A staggering amount.
Especially if you just keep it and save it. Don't speculate with it.
Do you mean close down the trumpet and live on the money we've got left?
Well, we've got children. We've got our own future. And it would be realistic.
It would be nothing but despair.
Oh, don't look at me that way, darling. You don't think I'm going to close down this newspaper? I'd rather do anything in the world than that, and you know it. To think of the satisfaction of our enemies. Oh, to think of the disillusionment of the people we tried to help.
And have helped.
All the people who believe in us as leaders of a good fight, a fight that's just begun, darling.
That's a whole lot better.
I called the bank about 15 minutes ago.
Yes?
No, I sort of sent up a trial balloon to see what would happen if I tried to get some financing.
And it came down again.
It exploded in midair. Oh. The Drakes and the Trumpet are what is known as a bad risk. We've done nothing but lose money ever since we started this newspaper. And don't forget, darling, we're not the only newspaper in this town. The Times is a very successful paper.
Oh.
Matter of fact, as a purely business proposition, I can't blame anybody for not having any faith in us.
You mean that if the Trumpet doesn't suddenly start to show a profit...
Oh, I'm not interested in profit, darling. As long as it's paid its own way, it's all...
But if it doesn't pay its own way and we can't get any more money...
Then we're through, in spite of everything.
That's impossible.
Nobler causes than that have fallen by the wayside, darling.
But not this one, darling. Not this one.
So the Trumpet is in difficult financial straits. The newspaper that has devoted itself so completely to the public good is not able to support itself. As soon as the dwindling resources of Betty and Bob Drake have vanished, the one public-spirited newspaper in Monroe may be swept into oblivion. But this is a crisis which Martin Anderson is not yet aware of. He's still clinging to the notion, in spite of Hap Davis's cynical reactions, that Evelyn Lewis, by her charm and unscrupulousness, might be able to create dissension between Betty and Bob. Right now, we find Evelyn Lewis in the waiting room outside Anderson's office.
Oh, hello, Hap.
Oh. Oh, hello.
Will you tell Martin that I'm here, or shall I go right in?
Hey, stay right where you are. He's inside, dictating a letter.
Is that why his secretary isn't out here?
You're smart.
Do you really think so, Hap?
I don't know. Your friend Martin thinks so, but...
But what, Hap?
I think you're poison.
Well, that's not so terrible. At least that implies respect.
It does?
If not love.
What's that supposed to be? A come on? Because if it is, I'm not interested.
You have the worst temper.
You gave it to me.
Oh, I'm sure you had it long before you ever met me. Why?
Why what?
Why have you got such an awful temper?
I'll tell you why. When a guy like me goes along and sees things he doesn't like, he wishes he could just put them out of his way. But when he can't put them out of the way, he just sort of has to take them. And he starts to burn inside.
Mm-hmm. Until he gets so mad that he puts them out of the way anyway.
Exactly.
Isn't it strange?
What's strange?
You don't frighten me at all.
That's because I'm not trying.
Even if you did, you wouldn't succeed. After all, you're just a boy.
I'm 25.
That much?
I've done things and seen things.
Life has made you hard.
Okay.
If you didn't scowl so much, you'd be rather pretty.
Pretty?
What's the matter? Don't you like the word?
You don't use it on a man.
Oh, you've got a nice straight nose, a good chin... Blue eyes. Now, if there wasn't so much meanness in them...
Okay, I get it. You're not so dumb after all. You're just trying to see how mad you can get me.
But you won't let it happen.
No. No, I'm just going to sit here and laugh.
You've got such a nice smile.
It's not at you. It's for you. Say, listen. You getting a salary from the boss?
A salary? For what?
Well, Anderson's got a whole program mapped out for you. Haven't you heard about it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, you don't have to play dumb with me. We're all on the same side.
Side? I really don't know what you're talking about. Martin is just a friend of mine.
All right. Let me put it this way.
Yes, Hap?
Just between you and me.
Yes, Hap.
Do you think you could make Bob Drake fall for you?
What an absurd question.
Listen, I told you we're on the same side. I hate the Drakes, the boss hates them, and you...
I'm not very fond of them.
Well, the boss figures that if you can get Bob Drake to go for you, it'll get his wife mad at him. And maybe they'll bust up.
How dreadful.
And then the trumpet will just fold up.
It will?
It might. Well, are you going to answer me? You think you can get a guy who's as crazy about his wife as Bob Drake is to fall for a goofy dame like you?
It's still an absurd question.
Why?
Because I can most certainly get him to fall for me, if I want to.
Has Evelyn Lewis any reason for such assurance that she can create a rift between Betty and Bob Drake? Does she really think that she occupies any of Bob's thoughts? It seems hardly likely, especially now that the trumpet is being faced with a serious financial crisis. This is Milton Cross again, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to take a moment to listen to an important message. This program is presented over this station 5 times each week, Monday through Friday, at this same hour. Join us when we next meet Betty and Bob. Your announcer, Milton Cross.